Still, some of you aren't out of the box yet. Right? Is everyone out of the box doing good? Great. Don't need church? Then why'd you come today? Today we're going to talk about love like Christ. We're going to take a moment and pray first. I'll pray for you guys pray for me. How's that? I got the better end of that deal, just so you know. Father, we just thank you for those gathered here today, God. Father, we ask that you would open their hearts and minds. God, that they would be open to your Spirit, God, and receive your word. Father, as it enters into their ears, God. Father, that they would meditate upon it. God, that they would apply it to their lives. God, that it would strengthen them. God, that it would make them a better person. God, that they may be a light to the world around them, God. That they may bring peace and happiness, Father, compassion and love to those around them. Father, we thank you for this, God. We ask your blessing upon those gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yesterday we had a memorial for Preston, a young man from our church, just about 19 years old. The amazing thing to me was we had a sharing time during his memorial. And all across the room, some people had known him just a couple of weeks. Some people had known him all his life. Some people had known him a few years. It didn't matter which sect of people they came from. It was always, Preston was so loving. Preston was so kind. I felt like Preston was my best friend as soon as I met him. It didn't matter if it was women or men or girls or boys or senior citizens or small children. They all had the same impression of who Preston was. Preston loved like Christ. How many of us have lived to whatever age we are? We won't bring up numbers. And have not yet put that impression upon the people in our lives. Have not yet affected or impacted as many people as Preston at just 18. How many of us go through our everyday life and do not love like Christ? Because as a Christian, that is our duty, our responsibility, our charge from Christ Himself to go and love. Love is an action. It means you do something. You don't just say it. You don't just write it down. You live it out. You act it. And that's what Preston did. I felt like I was part of that crowd. I mean, every time Preston left here, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, I remember him always walking across the parking lot. He would look over his shoulder and just, thanks for letting me be a part of the team. Thanks for letting me serve. He was always just excited about life. He enjoyed serving people. He enjoyed loving others. He enjoyed putting his talents to use in the kingdom of God. How many of us do that? Anyone? I'm pretty good some days. I'm pretty terrible other days. His parents found in his room his bucket list. It only had one thing on it. For an 18-year-old kid, it shook me up. To see God's glory in every day, in everything, and to give Him praise for it. Completed. That's a pretty amazing bucket list. He didn't want to climb Mount Everest. He didn't want to go to the moon. He didn't want to go swim with sharks or dolphins. He wanted to see God's glory every day of his life, in every moment, and appreciate it. Not just see it, because everybody gets to see it every day, whether they like it or not. Look around. I mean, you can't see a lot of it today because there's a lot of smoke, but once the smoke clears this fall, you'll see a lot more of it. But to give him praise for it. God, I thank you that I was able to get up this morning. God, I thank you that you put people in my life that I can love on. People in my life that I can be a friend to their destiny. people in my life that I can make them smile today? Do you have the heart of Christ? Because that's what it takes to love like Christ, is the heart of Christ, seeing every human being as a son or daughter of God Most High. They told me my water bottle was too crackly in the mic, so I had to go to a cup. They told me I had to use a clear cup so they could tell what I was drinking. Just that's from the sound booth. I don't know who works up there, but amen. They were loving on me, okay? That's not harassment for me. That's love. Amen. Most of you know I work as a hunting guide when I'm not around here, or when I'm not here, that's why. For about 12 years now, I've known this gentleman. He was just with me last week on an archery deer hunt. The first time I met him, I wasn't serving God. I was just being a person. He was a person. By the next trip he'd come on, I dedicated my life to Christ, told him I'm going to serve him, and he saw me, he goes, "Oh, you're kind of different." I said, "Yeah, well, I'm serving God now, you know, I got my ducks in a row, or trying to get them in a row. You know, that's not a one-day process for most of us." And so he noticed the change in me, and I told him, you know, he goes, "Well, don't ever give me any of that religious crap, because you'll never hear from me again. And I'll never come on a hunt with you again because I hate God and God's this bad guy and God kills babies and blah, 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 blah." This big spiel about how terrible God is. "And don't ever mention him to me again." And so I asked, "Okay, whatever. Don't talk to him about it. Just pray for him." So over the last 10 years or so, I've been guiding this guy on several other trips. And two Februarys ago, he invited me on a hunt down in Florida with he and a friend. Since I wasn't guiding him, I'm going along as a hunting partner. And while we're down there, well, let me back up. A few years before that, he was out here in Idaho hunting with me. First day out, he is climbing up on this log, and the log's rotten inside, and he smashes through the log with one leg, and the other leg slips off, and he falls off the log, but his leg's still stuck in the log, wrenches his knee something terrible. And he's hurt, so we had to help him. Me and the other guy we were with, we had to help him get back off the mountain down to the tent. And he's like, "Man, I'm done hunting. I can't hunt." And Dad ended up coming up that night. And Dad was in camp, and we were talking about it. And still at this point, he's at the "don't talk to me about God" stuff, you know, and God's a bad guy. Dad's there, and he goes, "Well, can I pray for you?" And Ed is thinking, well, he's going to go to church and pray for me next Sunday when he shows up. And so he goes, "Yeah, sure, I guess, whatever." And so Dad drops down on his knees and grabs hold of this guy's leg where it's hurt. And he's about to come out of his skin going, "What is this guy doing to me?" And Dad's got hold of his leg and he's not even paying attention to what he's saying or doing, and just starts praying for him, and this guy's eyes are just like, "What is this?" And so he kind of held it under wraps and held it together. By then, he had already decided he was going to leave, not going to hang out. His knee wasn't going to get any better. So the next morning, I was taking him back to the Missoula airport. I took him back, dropped him off. As he's sitting there, he goes, "You know, my knee hasn't hurt all day." This is after I've left him. He's like, "My knee hasn't hurt all day." And he had another buddy hunting a couple hours from Missoula. And he goes, "Well, I'm going to go slide over and hang with them for the rest of the week." So he goes over and hunts with his buddy all the rest of the week in Montana. And he calls me up on the phone and says, "Hey, what'd your dad do to me?" I said, "Well, he didn't do it, but a guy you won't let me talk about did." He's like, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "Well, that's the power of God through the laying on of hands and prayer." And he kind of blew it off, like, "You know, whatever. Well, whatever he did, tell him thanks, because my knee's better." So two Februarys ago, I'm down in Florida hunting with this fella. And we're sitting around the dinner table one night. the outfitter's there and his wife and some other hunters and stuff. And he just pipes up in the middle of dinner and goes, "Hey, do you remember that one thing your dad did to me?" And I'm, by now it's 8 years ago, and I have no idea what you're talking about. He goes, "Of course, when he's saying that one thing, I don't know." Yeah, that one thing. He says, "No, that time I hurt my knee and he did that thing to it and made it better." I'm like, "Oh yeah, you mean he prayed for it, right?" "Well yeah, whatever." And he just starts telling about this healing he experienced through the power of prayer, witnessing to all the other people at the table, and they're all kind of looking around like, "Both of y'all are crazy." And so I explained to him what went on, you know, the laying on of hands and the prayer, and that's just the power of God and how he works in miraculous ways in our lives. So he still wasn't hooked on God, but he's witnessing for God. This last week while I was hunting with him, every time we would sit down for a meal, he would say, "Do you mind saying a prayer for this? Do you mind blessing the food?" And by the end of the week, he was talking to me and he says, "Well, the good thing is I know you, so I've got a chance of getting to heaven. I can just, do you mind if I drop your name when I die?" And I said, "Yeah, you know, I'm the guy. Just say Arby Shown and God will let you in." I said, "That's not how it works." I said, "Can I tell you the truth of how it works?" And yeah, sure. So I tell him, you know, "You got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. No one comes to the Father except through Him." Totally get to lay out God's salvation plan, how to accept Christ, how to ask forgiveness of sins. Though he didn't do it this week, at least not that I heard or know of, it's in him now. He now knows the truth, the way to heaven. Somewhere in his past, he was very scarred by church people. He won't talk about it, but it was to the point of God is obviously a bad guy. God obviously does not have my best interests in mind. So over the course of 10 years, I've been able to change that thinking in his life, in his mind. And again, his hunting partner's sitting there at the table with us, and he's asking me all these questions. So I'm getting to witness to two guys while I'm getting paid to work. It's great. God's amazing like that. If you'll take the opportunities that he puts in your path to just love people like Christ loved them. I could have beat him with the Bible 10 years ago, told him he's a sinner, he's going to hell, he's not doing the right things, he's not doing what God wants. And I never would have heard from him again. How many other opportunities would have been missed if I had not listened to the Spirit then that just said, "Arby, shut up. It's not always wise to tell everything you know in every moment. We're sensitive to the Spirit of God. We move under His direction. And when the Spirit of God is involved, we begin to see miraculous things happen. We begin to see the glory of God exposed in our lives. And it's all through loving like Christ. It's through loving people like Christ loved people. I think about Jesus and His life, His walk, His ministry. He was a traveler. And He didn't have a greyhound. He didn't have a bike. He didn't have a car. He walked wherever He needed to go. He was never in too big a hurry to get somewhere that He couldn't stop and take time to minister, to love someone. He always had time, no matter who they were, no matter what they were doing, He would take time to love on them, to minister to them. Of course, he might have been tired from walking and just needed to take a break. But I don't think so. I think Christ loved people unconditionally. Look at, he's walking along with the crowd. Here's Zacchaeus sitting up in a tree. He could have walked on by. He had plenty of people to go hang out with. He says, "No, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house for lunch." The people looked at him like, "Jesus, he's a politician. Jesus, he's a tax collector. Jesus, he's a thief." Jesus went to his house for dinner, and his house was saved that day. He gave back more than he had ever taken from anyone he had taken it from, and then gave half of his goods to the work of the ministry. Because why? Because Jesus operated under the direction of the Spirit. He said, I don't do anything unless my Father says do it. I don't say anything unless the Father says say it. The Father said that day, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to have dinner with you. I'm going to change your life. I'm going to give you life everlasting. Amen. Think about the lame man by the pool. People would walk by him. People would walk by him. For years he laid by that pool. No one would help him into it. No one. Why? Because they were selfish. Because they wanted to do what they wanted to do. They wanted to get healed themselves. Jesus finally came by one day, even though it was the Sabbath. He heals the man. He says, get up and walk. Jesus took time for everyone in his path, as the Lord directed. Can you guys do that? Can you take time out of your day to do something the Lord's called you to do? The other day I was in the grocery store. This gal was ahead of me. She had some miscellaneous items. I don't know. It probably wasn't $10. I was behind her in line. And I said, can I pay for that? She looked at me like I was going to rob her. I said, can I pick up your tab? She looked at me again like, what? I said, is it okay if I pay for your groceries? And she's like, well, they're mine. I said, I know that. I want to pay for them. And she's still just going, what do you want from me? She finally allowed me to do it under protest. I was loving people. God said, pay the tab. Finally, the cash register goes, it's okay. You take your groceries. He's going to pay for them. And she left. She kind of said thanks, but was still like, what does this guy want? There's obviously a scam going on here somewhere. You know why? Because people don't love people enough. People don't exercise and show love to one another enough. I go to restaurant after restaurant. If you tell a waitress thank you, they look at you like, what? Really? I haven't heard that in weeks or months or ever. They look at you like you're crazy. Because people don't love people enough. We have to love the people around us. God puts them in our lives. God puts them in our path for us to love on. We're going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What is love? What is love? We're going to look at some of what it's not and some of what it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, picking up at verse 1. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. It would be pretty incredible to move a mountain, wouldn't it? Just in Jesus' name, mountain move. That would be pretty awesome. But if you're not loving people doing that, if you're moving the mountain to smash people, it's worth nothing. It was for nothing. All these gifts, all these abilities, if we don't use them to love people, it's for nothing. Absolutely for nothing. Reading on at verse 4. Love is patient. How patient are you? Are you a patient person? Do you order something at a restaurant? Do you wait at a stoplight and start tapping? Come on, I have places to go. Excuse me, I ordered coffee 5 minutes ago. Are you going to get that today, or should I come back tomorrow and get it? We've all been there. I'm guilty. Okay, I'll admit, I'm guilty. But God's teaching me patience. If you don't learn it, you have to keep training and testing. So figure it out. Love is patient. Patient, patient. If you ask my wife, she'll tell you I am much more patient today than I was 10 or 15 years ago. So I'm learning patience. I'm learning to love. I'm learning to enjoy life at every moment, even if we're waiting for something. Love is kind. Are you kind to those around you? Are you known as a kind person? Would somebody say that you were a kind person? Would anyone say that you were a kind person? I've been to funerals of people where, is there anything anyone would like to say about the individual? Yeah, he was a jerk. And no one else had anything good to say about him. It's like, wow. He was obviously not a nice person. What do people say about you and your family, at your work, your friends, people in the community? Because love is kind. If we're loving people, we are kind to them. It does not envy. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. Do you know what rudeness is? Have you ever been rude? Have you ever had somebody be rude to you? Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. No record of wrong. This is kind of starting to sound like how Jesus was. Like Jesus was love in the flesh. Do you guys have a long list of people that have wronged you? I have an acquaintance in town. I don't see him that often. When I do see him, almost every time I see him, he brings up his second grade teacher and how he was wronged. And if he would ever meet that second grade teacher in an alley, he might give him what he has coming. For, I'd say, 35 years of this man's life. And that's not the only one he has a list for. What do you carry inside of you? For me, I forgive and forget easily. I didn't used to be that way. I've had to work on that. Anymore, if you wrong me, I forgot about it by tomorrow, generally. And you come apologize, I'm like, for what? I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm like, well, yesterday we had that blow up, and I was mad at you, you were mad at me. Oh yeah, we were, weren't we? I don't hold a list. I don't keep a list. You're a child of God in my eyes. Those that aren't gathered here today are children of God in my eyes. Christ says, forgive, forget, and move on. Move forward. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Do you delight when something bad is going on? I know some people that just feed off that. So, ooh, I got to tell you what's happening. Of course, that's gossip. But love delights in the truth. Let's get to the truth of the matter. What's really going on? What's the truth? That's why I was so excited to tell my friend the truth this week. Because he'd been believing lies. He thought I was the gateway to heaven. I'm far from that. I'm just going through it. That's all. You might be in front of me. You might be behind me. You might be beside me. We're just going through together. What is the truth? It always protects. In James, the Word of God says, pure religion is this, to look out for and care for, this is a paraphrase, to look out for and care for widows and orphans, those who need a protector, those who need someone to stand up for them. Love protects. Love always trusts. Do you think the best of people? Or do you immediately go, they're trying to attack me, they're trying to hurt me? This week while on that hunt, the one gentleman got his deer early, the other one was still hunting. And I went in, dropped him off, and as I'm walking back to the four-wheeler, we had some bear sausage the night before, and it started moving. And I'm like, I hope I can get back to the four-wheeler. Because you don't want to do your duty in the hunting area, because that's just not good. And usually I'd been leaving the four-wheeler for him and just walking clear back to the truck. And then he could ride out if the hunt would end in the morning or whatever. But this morning I'm like, I'm going to have to take the four-wheeler back around the hill a mile or so we're not near the hunting area, and do my duty. And while doing that, here comes this skunk through the grass. So, of course, it's just breaking daylight, so all I can see is the grass moving, and all of a sudden a skunk pops out at like 15 feet. And I'm like, this could be the worst experience of my life. Okay? I'm not sure if I was attracting him or... But if a skunk's coming at you, don't go, because that apparently tells him, come closer. He heard that and was like, I was like, oh God, help me. Please, I'm in range. Don't let him turn. So when your pants are down, you're stuck. Anyways, the skunk went away. At the end of the morning hunt, I called the guy on the radio. I said, hey, I don't see any deer. Do you see any deer? He said, I don't see any deer. I said, well, walk back around the four-wheeler. Come on out. He gets to where the four-wheeler is supposed to be, and it's not there. So he thanks for playing a joke on him. And I forgot to tell him I had to move it. So he got kind of perturbed at me right off the bat. Just, they're playing a joke on me. They're trying to be mean. And so he was kind of angry. But do you immediately think the worst in situations? Do you immediately think the worst of people when something goes wrong? Or do you look for the good in them? Do you? No, he wouldn't do that against me. They wouldn't try to offend me. They wouldn't try to... I know how I'm reading it, and it seems like he wronged me, but that's not the heart of that person. But love trusts. Love looks for the best in everyone, in every situation, in every way. Love always hopes. Love always has hope for the best possible situation. I've talked to several married couples that, you know, my husband, he's just always trying to be a jerk. He's always trying to be mean. Well, my wife, she never wants to do anything with me. And they always take it the negative way. Rather than they both really love each other and they just have a couple hiccups in their marriage that they need to get burped out. They just think, well, he doesn't love me anymore. She doesn't love me anymore. And pretty soon it's a wedge. But love, it always hopes and trusts for the best in each other. If we love each other, we will have high hopes for one another. We will have the most trust for one another. When you trust someone, you're willing to share with them the truth. And you're willing for them to share the truth with you. And when you have the best and highest hopes for one another, you're willing to do that, to be more open, to be more honest. Love always perseveres. Love never fails. How many of you know marriage is not easy? Is my wife in here? Can I raise my hand? She'll raise her hand too. She's there. She's hiding in the back on me today. I've counseled with several couples who say, you know, it's just not working for us anymore. You know, we've kind of grown out of love. Love in America is so screwed up, we don't even know what it is. If we go by American standard of love, love is, as long as it makes me feel good, I'll stick with it. But as soon as it doesn't, I'm done. I'm out of love. You made me mad, love is over. That's American love. If you're living in America love, get out of it. Okay, God's love perseveres. God's love sees you through the storms of life, sees you through the wreckage of life, and carries you into a higher plateau of life. It builds up, it edifies. It does not tear down, it does not destroy. There are some moments like this, but when you get done with this, you go like this. If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger, right? My wife and I, we are strong. We have a great relationship, but it has not always been great. But we committed to love one another for the rest of our days. And knowing that we're committed to that love, and it's not an American love, it's a Christ love, which perseveres through all things, which trusts and hope, which looks for the best in every situation. So we look beyond the circumstance we're dealing with today. We look beyond the I'm mad at you, you're mad at me today. And we look into our future and say, I don't know how we're going to get there, but we're going to get there. We're going to get through this. As well as with our friend-to-friend relationship, our family-to-family relationships. God's love perseveres. God's love is forever. God's love does not break, does not change. Life may. You might have some squigglies. You're going to have some heartbeat in your relationships. It's not all going to be flatline or upline or downline. But you look beyond the circumstance or the situation to the future of that relationship. You look beyond where people are today. You go downtown right now and say, well, that person's a sinner, they're not going to heaven. I go downtown, I look around and say, that person hasn't met Jesus yet, apparently. As near as I can tell. Guess what that means? That's a witnessing opportunity. It's a chance to go love somebody as Christ loves them. Amen? So you have homework this week. I want you to leave here today. I would hope that you would all go do it today and each day thereafter to go love somebody. Whatever that looks like for you. Someone, a neighbor, a friend, a family member, the clerk behind the counter at the grocery store, the waitress at the restaurant. Go love somebody today. If it means going to lunch and just getting a drink and leaving what you would normally spend on dinner or lunch as a tip, go blow somebody's mind today with God's love. Because God loves people through you and I. You and I are God's hands extended. Do your homework this week. And see if you don't make a difference in the lives of those around you. See if you don't start impacting people in your community with the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Father, for your example, God, that you set. Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, for us to follow. God, we thank you for that. God, we ask that as we live out our everyday lives, God, that you would teach us to love more deeply, God, more freely. God, more unconditionally, God, without bounds. Father, the people of our community. Father, the people of our workplace. The people of our families, Lord God. Father, that we would begin to love with a Christ-like love. Father, not a love of this world. Not a love of America, God, but your love. God, a love that is everlasting, that is uplifting and life-giving. Father, we thank you for that. God, we ask your blessing upon those gathered here today. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you want to dig out your Connect card.